Let's begin tonight as we sing together 196. This is a great hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Let's rise to sing. Take your seats and we'll sing the fourth verse. Once more, thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Verse 4.
Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find.
We'll bow together in prayer. We're here particularly to think of tonight's meeting and to ask the Lord just to tabernacle with us, be one of our number. We're here to remember our needs and the needs of this congregation too. And we're praying for Aaron as he faces surgery on Friday. We are remembering the family that has been plunged into sorrow today. If you haven't heard, Cyril McAfee died very suddenly this morning. And we think of Margaret and her family circle. So let's come to the Lord, come to his presence, call upon his name. Lord, as we come to this meeting tonight, to this meeting house, we know that the Lord is here. He has promised to be there where his people gather in his precious name. The Lord Jesus himself has promised to be in the very midst of that gathering. And so it is with joy in this sense that we come to God's house, because not only do we enjoy that fellowship, the one with the other, with our brethren and sisters in Christ, with those of like precious faith, but more than anything else, we enjoy fellowship with God. Remember before the fall of man that Adam had the privilege and the honor of walking with God in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. They walked together, they talked together, they enjoyed fellowship together in the sweetness of that time of innocence before sin came into the world and destroyed so much. Lord, we know that when the fall came, man was separated from God, and there was that break in the fellowship. And yet through Christ, our Redeemer, he has bridged that gulf. He has reconciled man to God. And therefore, we have the opportunity and the privilege of fellowship once again. And as John says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we have tonight. That's what we desire this evening here. May the Lord draw near to every waiting heart. May he reveal himself to us in every song that we sing, in every prayer that we offer, in the reading and the preaching of your word. We want the Savior to be preeminent, to be chief among this gathering, to be seen. Lord, give us the eye of faith to behold Christ. Help us to see him tonight in this meeting, in all his love and grace and mercy. Help us, Lord, to see afresh the cross where he died, and paid the sacrifice for our sin. We rejoice that he was lifted up. And in the lifting up of Christ, there's that drawing power. He promised to draw all men unto himself. And Lord, you set the cross before so many of us that day of our conversion. And there was that irresistible drawing power that brought us to know him. We came confessing our sin. We came trusting alone in the merit of Christ. We ventured all upon his atoning sacrifice, and we were born of God. And Lord, you've kept us since that day. We have not always been faithful. Many a time, in fact, we have to say every day, we come short of your glory. We're not what we ought to be, but we praise God tonight, we're not what we once were. And thou hast changed us and redeemed us. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things become new. And that miracle of grace has occurred in our lives. You've given to us new desires. We've got a hunger and a thirst after God. We've got an eternal home to go to one day in heaven. We're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God, hallelujah. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. You've given to us many things to enjoy in this earth. You've given to us homes and family and friends and so many temporal blessings. But Lord, we're going to something that is infinitely much better. We're like Abraham tonight, who looked for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Our home, our heart is set upon that home, our eternal home. We're thinking this morning how that we are to set our affection upon things which are above and not things which are in the earth. And Lord, you've given us by your grace such affection in our heart, and we pray that we might labor to that end, that we might live with eternity's values in view. Oh God, there are those who need Christ. There are those in this very meeting who need the Savior, and perhaps listening in online. And we pray earnestly for them. This is the gospel service. This is the time of evangelistic preaching, when men through the word will be called to Christ. Make that call very powerful. Make it effectual in the heart. We pray that men will be drawn to Christ, come to see him, come to know him, come to believe in him to the salvation of their souls. And what we pray for Hebron, we pray for every sister congregation, in fact, every other faithful meeting house tonight that gathers in a fashion like this to preach the gospel. Lord, may there be signs that follow. May sinners be converted. We do pray for Aaron and this procedure on Friday, that the Lord will be with him, prepare the way. Lord, take him by the hand and lead him through this difficulty in his life. We know that the Lord is in control of all things, and we're happy to commit our way unto the Lord for this young man. So be with him and be with his family. Give them peace in their heart in these days. Remember the McAfee family. We pray for Margaret, pray for Ryan, we pray for the family circle. Lord, you know how suddenly they were plunged into sorrow today, and we ask that the Lord will be there. You've got a purpose in everything. We've seen that so often, and even in those things that are tragic in our lives, Lord, you have a purpose, and we just pray that you'll fulfill your purpose in this matter. Be with a sorrowing family and let your presence be known. Bless us this week as we think of all the meetings that are arranged, all the events that are before us, all the outreach that will be done, the personal witness that will be made, the testimony meeting tomorrow night, other meetings through the week. Visit us, Lord, with the breath of God. Send the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the gospel service in the Savior's name, to you that are meeting here with us physically in the building, and to those that are joining us online. Tomorrow night is the special baptism service at 8 o'clock, and just maybe to mention again, the hall is reserved first for close friends and family. The service will be relayed. It'll also be live streamed. There may be those that will want to stay at home, they'll be able to watch it from home. And there are 8 candidates from Hebron, 9 from Coleraine. Tea will be served, and I'm asking all those that are to be baptized tomorrow night to wait behind just for a few minutes that we can talk to you about tomorrow evening. Tuesday night, there's a praise service in the Lodge Hotel. Our choir will be singing, likewise the Ukrainian choir. Rebecca will be singing in the Kingdom Airs, and I'll be bringing a closing word. And everyone's invited to that. If you're able to make it, it'll be good to see you. Thursday is the midweek at 8 o'clock. We've still got Phil there preaching. But maybe he will be preaching. But I intend to be here to bring the message. Friday's the wedding of David and Emily. 12 noon here at the church. And again, just for their sake, we wish them well. We're praying for them. We've been praying for them for a long time now. Susan and I have been praying for David ever since he was born, before he was born. And we've been praying for them both ever since Emily came on the scene. And we trust they have a very good day as they come together in married life. Friday's also the youth fellowship. That's at 8 o'clock. Friday's the missionary council in Lurgan. Saturday is the open air in the center of the town at 11. Next Lord's Day, the early time of prayer, 8 o'clock. Sabbath school 10:30, Bible class 10:30, worship service 12 noon, and we hope to have Luce, Bo and Gio from Romania singing at both services next Lord's Day, and I hope to be preaching Sunday school outreach in the afternoon at 3:30, gospel service at 7, preceded by the prayer meeting. And again, thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings for God's work. Reminding the members of the church that there's a congregational meeting tomorrow week, Monday night, the 23rd of May. And we've indicated to you about the very sudden passing of Cyril. He died very suddenly this morning, and our hearts go out in sympathy and in love to Margaret and the family. And we continue to pray for the sick of the church. We've mentioned Darren. We have drawn attention to Mervyn and the need there. He's in hospital at this time, and we continue to think of the others that are on the prayer list. Noreen, we pray for you as you go back to Uganda on Thursday. The Reverend Crane, that's Jonathan Crane, his wife will travel with her sister, and for the next four Sundays be responsible for the preaching at Emmanuel Christian Station there, Mission Station. Noreen goes back to take the charge again of the school for a couple of months, and then we hope to see her later on in the summertime. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. It's the hymn 337. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distressed, till I heard a sweet voice saying, "Make me your choice," and I entered the haven of rest. Let's all start to sing. Thank you. may be seated. Visitors this morning from Switzerland, and I think they're here again tonight. We've also visitors from Wales, and Robert's cousin is here, and Sean's cousin, and we bid them welcome in the Saviour's great name. Let's open our Bibles to the prophecy of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. And some verses we're going to read on into the second chapter. It's a short chapter. Jonah chapter 1, let's read together the opening 7 verses of this prophecy. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Go down to verse 15. The verses in between, there's this controversy. What are they going to do now with Jonah? And when we come here to verse 15, the decision is made. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Ending a reading there. At the end of chapter 2. May God bless it to every heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the worthy name of the Savior, we ask your blessing upon the reading. And we seek your blessing upon what shall now be said from this pulpit. This is your word. And Lord, your word is very powerful. We're not trusting to ourselves. We're not trusting to the preacher or any eloquence of any man. We're trusting in the Lord tonight. And we're praying that God himself will draw near. By the Holy Spirit, speak and awaken us and help us to sit up and pay attention. Help us to shoot up a prayer even now. Speak to me. Don't let me leave this meeting without hearing the voice of God. Open my heart to your word. Oh, Father, we pray that there will be that kind of attentiveness. May we not come here just to while away an hour. We're here to meet with God. We're here to hear from him in his word. And Lord, you've got a message. Speak to us, Lord. Oh, come near to this people. We're waiting on the Lord tonight. Come and speak to us now. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jonah was the runaway prophet. God called him. God commissioned him. Indeed, he appointed Jonah to preach to the city of Nineveh. And this call came suddenly. It came unexpectedly and authoritatively to the prophet. God's message must be preached and preached among the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And so Jonah is sent to the most renowned city of the Gentile world, Nineveh, that great city. And it was a great city. It was great in pride, it was great in splendor, great in wealth, great in population, and like any other great city of the world, great in wickedness and godlessness, blood and robbery, idolatry and witchcraft stained her streets. Their sin had come up before God and cried out for judgment. That's the only thing that God does with sin. He judges sin. And the sin of Nineveh had risen up before a holy God and cried out for judgment. It had reached heaven. They had sinned with a high hand. This city was ripe for judgment. And so Jonah must cry against it. That's what the Lord told him to do. He must witness against their sin and warn of the coming destruction. He must cry aloud and spare not and lift up his voice on high. Nineveh was an enemy of Israel, and so Jonah refuses to go anywhere but Nineveh. That's how he was thinking. You know, so often that happens when the Lord calls a man or a woman to be a missionary somewhere or to go to some city or town, and it's not where they want to go, anywhere but that place. And that was the mindset of this prophet, anywhere but Nineveh. Jonah runs away from the call of God, seemingly because of the great love that he had for his own people and a hatred to the heathen country that he was called to. He was reluctant to offer mercy to Nineveh, and he actually desired the destruction of an enemy. So there was this prejudice in Jonah's heart. Perhaps he foresaw how the Ninevites were going to repent and seek the Lord, and Jonah did not want that to happen. In fact, when he was recommissioned and his message was proclaimed, which was the means of turning this whole city in repentance to God, Jonah was not a happy man. Now, any preacher would be delighted in this kind of result. If we went forward and preached to a city, or here, if I preached to the people of Ballymoney and I saw what Jonah saw, it would bring delight to my heart, but not so with this man. Just look at the account. It's over in chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's read verses 4 and 5. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. Run your eye down to verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Mark what it says in verse 10. And God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And we'll go into the next little part of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You have to say, really, that the attitude of Jonah, the response of this man was despicable. Here's a city, they hear the message of God, they are called to repentance because the judgment of God is going to fall upon it. This city in its entirety turns to the Lord, and this prophet, this preacher of the word, is not at all pleased. And he says, Lord, I thought that was going to happen. Whenever I was back in my country, I knew that you were a good God, a gracious God, a merciful God, and it would be very possible that mercy would be extended to the Ninevites. And so I ran away. And of course, we have to say this was a pathetic response. Instead of obeying God, the prophet flees. He goes in the opposite direction. He went down to Joppa, a famous seaport, and he boarded a ship bound for Tarshish. But God pursued him. God overtakes him in his rebellion and brings him to his knees. A violent storm erupts, which brings the prophet into deep waters until he is taught a vital lesson, a lesson that everyone needs to learn. Salvation is of the Lord. God will do what he will do. He will save those whom he will save. It's a matter that belongs entirely to God. And Jonah was brought very low before he recognized this truth. Sometimes God chooses to deal with us in this way. The ordinary way, of course, is simply through his word. As we read his word, as we listen to his word being preached, that's how God speaks to mankind. But when that does not work, sometimes the Lord has to revert to what we might call a more severe method, like a storm erupting in a person's life. I think of a disobedient son, and he walks away from the tremendous heritage that God has given to him. All the privileges that he's had being brought up in a godly home, being brought up in a Christian church, and yet he heeds it not. And so God steps into his life to speak to him in a more severe way. I think of a backsliding Christian. There's many backsliders today. They ran well with the Lord for a time, but they run no longer. And that goes on month after month, and maybe even year after year. And then God steps into their life. They heed not his word, so he brings a crisis. He brings a storm, and it speaks to them. I think of a rebellious sinner, so often sitting beneath the sound of the word, leaving meeting after meeting, rejecting Christ, walking out without salvation, refusing to repent and turn from their sin and believe the gospel. So what does God do? Steps into their lives in a more severe method. So I want you to think tonight about what it is to run away from God. Maybe that's what you're doing this evening. Maybe I'm addressing someone here in this service or listening to this meeting at home, and you are a runaway. You're running away from God. Oh, may God speak to you now as we come to this message. I want you to see the course that Jonah followed. Jonah ran away from God. Heaven had spoken. God had called. The Lord commissioned him, directed his way. He knew what he ought to do. It was clear, very clear, with military precision. The word of God was uttered, "Arise, go to Nineveh." There was no doubt whatsoever what this man was to do. But he, who should have known better, he turns on his heels and he goes in the opposite direction. History has repeated itself many times. The word of the Lord has come to hearts with crispness and clarity and power, and yet men have turned away from the speaking voice of God. There are Christians tonight, and they are running away from God. They are running away from his holy will, just like Jonah did. They've been called to preach. They've been called to witness to some individual about their soul. They've been called into full-time work, maybe even called to missionary service, like our sister Noreen and others. But they have not been prepared to go, and they're running in the opposite direction. There are backsliders tonight, maybe even here, and you're running away from God. Once you walked with the Lord, once you ran well the Christian race, once you soared, as it were, into heavenly places and you knew sweet fellowship and communion with God, and yet tonight you're running and you're hiding from God, just like Adam, who hid among the trees of the garden when God came to speak. And they're sinners, and they're running away from the Lord. He's called you often, hasn't he? He's called you long. Many times you've heard the Lord call you, but you're running in the opposite direction. You're shutting your ear to the voice of God. Oh, maybe there's even times when you wallow in your seat as the gospel message goes forth and God is speaking and there's conviction in your heart, but you turn away from it. You hide in a corner and you say, "Not me. I'm not coming to Christ. I'm not going to get saved." I think of those who have been enlightened. They have been spoken to. They've been concerned. They've been convicted. They've been moved. They've shed a tear. They've been filled with sorrow and remorse. And they knew what to do. But they ran. They ran from the Lord. And still you are running tonight. This is the course that Jonah followed. Is that your course tonight? Notice as you look there at verse 2, the crisis he encountered. Verse 2 of Jonah chapter 2. "I cried," says the prophet, "by reason of mine affliction." This man's in affliction. He can't escape from God, you see. Isn't this what the word of God teaches? Try as you may to run. Try as you may to hide. Try as you may to get out of the sight of God and flee from his presence and flee from his word. You can't do it. That's an impossibility. I think of the Psalm 139. So often quoted when we think of this very thing, the impossibility of hiding from God. And this is what the psalmist said, the psalmist David. Look at it with me in the Psalm 139 and verse 7. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Can't get out of God's sight. You can't hide anywhere in this world. You can't go into some dark corner, because the darkness is just like light to God. He sees everything. Jonah could not escape from God. God pursued him. God followed him. God caught up with him, overtook him. A messenger is sent. God sends messengers. And what was this messenger? It was a storm. It was a great wind. The operations of nature are under divine control. It distinctly tells us in chapter 1 and verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Here's something that is initiated by God. Here's something that God does now in the life of Jonah. He sends a storm after him, a great wind after him, and he speaks through the storm. God speaks in every situation. He speaks in the storm. He speaks in the calm. He speaks in the sunshine. He speaks in the rain. Winds and tempests fulfill his pleasure. A mighty tempest fell upon Jonah. Storms often swept that sea. But there was no storm like this storm. It was supernatural. And what kind of effect did it have? Well, it had a great effect. It had an effect upon the ship, because the ship was like to be broken, we're told. It had an effect upon the mariners, these seamen who were used to the waves and the storms. It made them afraid. It made them pray. It made them cast out their possessions and their cargo into the sea. And it had an effect upon Jonah. Fast asleep. But when he awakened, there was darkness. There was despair. There was the great deep, and even death itself stared him in the face. He's cast into the sea. The seamen thought Jonah was drowned, but the Lord in his providence had provided a living tomb. Verse 17 of chapter 1, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This was miraculous. What's happening here? A fish swallowing a man. It was also a mercy that God would send such a vessel to rescue this disobedient child of God. And Jonah is in great distress. He can't read the words that we read tonight in chapter 2, especially verse 3 to 6, without seeing the distress he's in. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. You see what's happening here? He's in the heart of the seas. He's far from the shore. He's down there in the great fathomless deep. He's swept by the billows. Seaweed has wrapped itself around his head. Hope of deliverance is gone. He's rock bottom. He's in extreme, in extremities. It's a bitter experience. But you know, this was the love of God. This was the mercy of God. You might not see that at first, but this storm arising and this terrible place that Jonah finds himself in, this is God in his love at work. God sent the storm to fetch him back. Why? Because he whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth the times. God will send his chastening hand out after the disobedient, to bring them into the way. God's valleys are given in mercy and love. Sometimes we are encompassed with floods of affliction and trouble, forcible and violent, but these are designed providentially in God's mercy to bring us to the place where we ought to be. For a time, all seemed well. All was plain sailing. It was fair weather for Jonah. It was calm and peaceful. And so it can be for the sinner, and the sinner goes along merrily. But then God sends a sudden change to the disobedient and the fugitive. He ordains a change in finance, a change in health, perhaps, a change in business, a change in the family. A storm erupts and breaks forth. These dark experiences are sent by God for a special purpose. And I want you to learn this. It is better to be recovered by a tempest than perish in a calm. You can't escape from God. You can't hide from Him. You can't conceal yourself from Him. You can't slip away somehow out of His sight. You can't avoid Him or dodge His presence. You just can't get away. God catches up. He always does. And God will confront you, and God will send His messengers after you. God may bring you low so that you will look up to Him. And many a soul has been led to Christ through the death of an infant child, or maybe through the home calling of a dear mother or father, or maybe through sickness and terminal illness. Others who have hit rock bottom. William Cowper said, God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. The crisis that Jonah encountered. He's in affliction. And sometimes God allows that to happen to speak to individuals. But then look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. The cry that Jonah made. Then Jonah prayed. Prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. Then Jonah prayed. When? When he was in trouble. When he was at wit's end. When he was perishing. When he was in the dark and the deep. And he's forgiven. And he's recommissioned. In the opening part of chapter 3 says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, and he went unto Nineveh. Oh, the mercy of God. The man is recommissioned to go. Some people say you shouldn't pray when you're in trouble. And there is a sense in which you shouldn't use God in this way. For some, it's the only time that they pray. But my dear friends, the Bible does tell us to call upon God in the day of trouble. The Bible reminds us that God is our refuge and strength, and He's a very present help in trouble, one that comes right beside us in our times of need. If we pray sincerely and in humility, we're welcome at the throne of grace. The proof of the genuineness, of course, will be seen thereafter. Some people get into trouble, they get into a crisis, and they call upon God. Yes, it's the right thing to do. God delivers them out of the crisis, and then they forget all about God. Well, it was never genuine in the first place. I always remember a tragedy that took place at sea. The three fishermen were swept overboard in a freak wave. No, it wasn't a freak wave. It was actually another vessel collided with it, and these three men were swept overboard. I can remember hearing of how they all prayed. I know the one prayed with genuineness, and the Lord did save him, and well, he's now an elder in one of our churches. But there was another man, and I'm told he prayed the loudest. And when he was rescued and he got back to the shore at the harbor, he just laughed it all off and he forgot about God. He was just using God. But my friends, when you're sincere and God has brought you into trouble and he's brought a storm your way, if you call upon him in your trouble, he will hear you. He will deliver you. And you will find that he is a very present help in such times. Doesn't matter what circumstances we're in. Doesn't matter where you are. Jonah is in the belly of a huge fish. He's at the bottom of the sea, and yet he cried out of the depths unto God. And God heard him. I just want you to know, as we come to a conclusion tonight, that Jesus will hear you too. You call upon him for mercy and for pardon and forgiveness. He will hear your cry. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Is there one who will cry out tonight in the words of Scripture, God, be merciful to me, the sinner? The sinner is in the original there. If you read it in the original language, for that publican that went to the temple felt himself to be a sinner above all sinners. Wouldn't even lift up his head toward heaven. The Pharisee prayed with himself. He didn't pray to God. He didn't pray with God. Just prayed with himself. But here's the old sinner in the temple. And he bows his head. He smites his breast in contrition. And he just simply says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God was merciful. And he went home that day pardoned. He went home that day forgiven. He went home with the peace of God flooding his soul. Will you pray that prayer tonight? Will you pray the prayer that the blind man in the gates of Jericho prayed? Have mercy. Have mercy on me. And if you do and you mean it, God will have mercy. Oh, may the Lord speak tonight. Speak through the story of Jonah and bring you to the place where you ought to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've spoken to our hearts tonight. Thank thee for your word. Thank thee for the truths that we can glean from it. And Lord, we do pray for awakening grace. You speak through your word, and sometimes a crisis is brought into a person's life, a storm. Maybe there's somebody tonight, Lord, and you're using a storm to speak to them. It's your messenger, and you've sent it out after them to bring them to the place where you want them to be. Some Christian that's running away from the Lord tonight, running away from God's will. Some backslider still going down that road that displeases the Lord. And Lord, you're calling, and maybe you've sent a storm their way. Some poor sinner out of Christ, Lord, you've spoken to them many times, and every time they've refused the call. And Lord, you're stepping into their life, and you're calling again, and maybe for them too, some crisis has emerged. Lord, bring them to the feet of the Savior. Bring that child of God who's disobedient to the place of submission. Bring the backslider back to his first love. Bring the sinner to Christ. Lord, do it tonight in this meeting. As we're bowed together in prayer and God's people who love the Lord are praying, I just want to say, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand or stand to your feet or anything like that. I'm just going to say, if God has spoken to you tonight as you sat beneath the ministry of his word, don't turn away. Don't turn away from what God is saying to you. But you come to him and get right with him. And do it tonight. We're here to help you and speak to you after the meeting. I have a group of people to talk to just for a few minutes, but don't go away without the Lord. You linger on, and we'll certainly get time to talk to you. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing the hymn that I love very often to sing at the close of a service, 288. I'm coming to the cross, I'm poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross, I shall full salvation find. I am trusting, Lord, in thee, blessed Lamb of Calvary. Humbly at thy cross I bow. Save me, Jesus, save me now. Let's sing it together. Stand to sing. In truth brought to this place tonight, where they will cry in their heart, I am trusting, Lord, in thee, blessed Lamb of Calvary, humbly at thy cross I bow. Save me, Jesus, save me now. And Lord, with that kind of prayer burning in the soul, we know that the Lord will come and he will save. He will save to the uttermost all who come in this fashion. And so, Lord, bless your word and bless the gospel message to sinners tonight and to your people also. And separate us with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.